Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you're there, say, I am. The New Living Translation says this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. I'm going to read you the NIV version as well. It's in Jonah, again, same verses, Jonah 1 and 2. 3:1-2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I love that phrase, a second time. You're going to find out why here in just a minute. But a second time. He said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Let's pray. God, today, let me proclaim the message you have given me. Let your word be powerful. My words be few. Get me out of the way so that people can see you in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, again, I encourage this because it helps you remember. It helps you recall everything that's going on. But if you're taking notes, you can title this, The Next Time Around. The Next Time Around. How many of you, when you do something the very first time, you do it perfectly every single time? Okay, good. Nobody raised their hand. I was about to have an altar call for lying. Listen, we all mess up at times in our lives, right? I think back. This is small stuff, small potatoes that I'm talking about. I'm thinking back to when I was a kid. I loved playing video games. I still love playing video games. I played one last night, and I'm still a dork and a geek and a nerd and everything else that you want to call about those that play video games. I love it, though, because it's how I de-stress. But when I was growing up, we didn't have all these fancy video game systems and all that kind of stuff where you can save your progress or all that kind of stuff on these systems. If I messed up, I had to start back at the beginning because I'm a little OCD about some things. I want to get everything perfect when it comes to the stuff. And I would be playing my video game and something would happen that I didn't like or something. You know what I would do? Reset. And I'd start it back over and I'd have to start all back over. And I didn't get it right the first time. I didn't get it right the second time. A lot of times I didn't get it right the 999th time. Okay? But there's all kinds of things that I messed up on. I had a teacher when I was in first grade named Miss Mills. Now, I liked Miss Mills, but she was tough. She was tough on us. And I remember there was a particular exercise we were doing. And we had the lined paper with it that we were supposed to be writing on. And we had to write a sentence. She would tell us the sentence, and we had to write it down the way that it was supposed to be, spelled right, with the right punctuation, all these things. And it was a long sentence, so we had to write it down. And once we wrote it down, we had to walk up in front of her and hold our paper up like we were getting a mugshot done. And we had to hold it in front of her, and she would look at us and say, that is correct, or she would say, go back. Y'all, I'm having to repent right now in my head because I thought some very bad things about that woman. Because I walked up there, I held my paper up, and I was so proud. And all of a sudden she goes, go back. I go, go back where? And I take it back and I look and I sit there and I sit there and I see a little mark on the side that maybe I did with a stray pencil mark or something. I go, well, maybe that's what she's talking about. I erased it. And I went back up there and held it back up. Go back. I go back and I sit down and I'm sitting there and I'll sit there for probably 10 minutes trying to figure out what the problem was. I finally said, well, maybe she had something on her glasses that she saw on my paper that wasn't supposed to be there. I went back up there, held it up, go back. You ain't even changed nothing. Miss Mills, I don't know where it is. Go back. And I went up there probably at least 10 times. I promise you. By the end of it, I'm sitting at my desk crying. I'm so stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't write nothing. And Miss Mills is like, oh, my gosh, boy. And she finally just says, it's an exclamation point, not a period or something like that. It was something so simple. But I didn't get it right the first time. I didn't get it right the second time. And it kept worse and worse and worse. Even in my marriage, I know this is not, I know y'all look at me and y'all see perfect little pastor that never makes a mistake. Don't laugh at that. But in my marriage, I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm so glad my wife didn't say amen right there. But I guarantee you she did. She thought it. Lord, in Jesus' name. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is, on our 10th anniversary, listen, we just celebrated our 26th anniversary this past Wednesday. And listen, I would not trade those 26 years for anything. This woman has been my helpmate. She has been my strength. She has talked me out of my tree when I was up it, wondering if I was ever going to make it. She has supported me in everything that I've done. And we always joke that she works to support my ministry habit. But my 10th anniversary, you know, that's a pretty big deal. Young people, take notes. 10th anniversary is a pretty big deal. It's supposed to be. And she had this picture made, and she did all these other kind of things. And me, I've never been a card person. I've never been a gift person. I've never been a celebrator. I don't even like celebrating my own birthday most of the time, so I'm going to be honest with you. And my wife gets on to me for it all the time. But we want to celebrate it. That's fine with me. Y'all go out to eat. I'm going to sit here and play video games. But the thing is, on my 10th anniversary, she gave me all these things. And I looked at her and said, well, baby, I didn't get you nothing. I didn't even have a card, y'all. I'm seeing some of the ladies look at me like, oh, my gosh, and you're still alive? Yes, but I made a mistake. I learned from that mistake very quickly because Amy let me know that was not acceptable. She let me know that was not acceptable. So there is not an event that goes by in my life now where it involves me and my wife where I don't buy her at least two, probably more like three or four anniversary cards, birthday cards, whatever. I'm buying cards from the dog to give to her. And y'all think I'm joking, but that's true. But the thing is, I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. The point of the story is that we're going to mess up royally at times, at home, on the job, in our relationships. The question is not, are we going to make a mistake? The question is, what's going to happen the next time? What's going to happen the next time around when it comes around? Are we going to learn from our mistake, or are we going to stay where we're at? Are you with me? Jonah messed up royally. If you don't know that story, I know some people may not have been raised in church like I was, but if you don't know that story, Jonah was told, you need to go and witness to this town Nineveh and tell them that if they don't get right, I'm going to destroy every single one of them. I'm going to bop them and I'm going to kill them all. God is telling him, you better tell them to get right or they're going to get busted. And Jonah does not like Nineveh. Nineveh was an Assyrian city, and they were known to be mean. They were known to attack. They were known for torture. They were really a bunch of assassins. They were a bunch of terrorists. And they were known to be so far gone that the people didn't want to see them. They didn't even care about them. They didn't want anything to do with them. And Jonah was told to go to this city where he was going to be in danger and to tell them, hey, y'all better get right or you're going to die. And Jonah said, nope, I'm not going. Not because he was afraid, because I think he believed that God could protect him. But the reason why was because he did not like the Ninevites. He didn't want to go and minister to them because he didn't want them to get saved. That's a whole other message.
because we got a whole bunch of Jonahs that are sitting in churches that we don't witness to people because they're not our type of people. I'm not saying that's y'all. If the shoe fits, wear it. If not, kick it and let it hit somebody else in the head. But the thing is, we need to understand that when we're called to do something, we need to go and do it. But Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do it. So he ran away. It went so far as to get into on a ship that was going the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. And as he traveled on that ship, the storm blew up, and he realized he had done wrong, and he was about to cause all these sailors to die because he did not want to do what God told him to do. And he said, listen, y'all better throw me over, because if y'all throw me over, then the storm will be fine. I'm the one that messed up. My God is the one that's doing this. So they took him. They eventually threw him over, and a big giant fish came up and swallowed him whole. And everybody's going, well, that can't be real. It is proven that it can be. As a matter of fact, there are studies that have shown where they've actually found people that have been inside of a whale shark for upwards of 6 days and found them alive. Yeah, tell me about it. But he messed up royally. He got thrown into the sea. A big fish came up and grabbed him and swallowed him whole. He botched things so badly that God made him lay around in a smelly, nasty, ugly, scary fish with juices flowing all around him and all these things. We always think of Jonah as sitting on a chair on the deck of a ship inside of a fish, saying, well, he must be inside this big thing and he's got all this space. No, he was probably laying down it with all this water and all these juices flowing back and forth next to him, and he's sitting there trying to breathe, and he's probably cramped, and he's probably stuck up like this, and he's going, it's the world's work. Y'all think y'all got it bad when you got time out? Now, see, when I was young, they didn't do time out with me. They gave me a whooping and sent me on. But nowadays, they do time outs. This is the world's worst time out that you could ever imagine. God said, nope, you're going to sit right there until you learn your lesson. And then he didn't speak again for 3 days. Y'all thought y'all had it bad just not being able to play video games for a couple of days. Try sitting inside of a big fish for 3 days. It's the world's worst time out. And then all of a sudden he repented. He repented. The most encouraging verse in the Bible, or in this book, in this story to me, is Jonah 3:1, where it said, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Again, I said he repented, and then God spoke, and the fish went and threw him up on the shore, which that's just nasty. He threw him up on the shore. Probably smelled like the fish for the rest of his life. But then verse 1 on chapter 3 comes through and says, but God spoke to Jonah a second time. Can I tell you something? God still speaks the second time. Let me say it again. God still speaks to us the second time around. Silence has a lot of meanings in the Argo household. It could mean that we're tired. It could mean that we're bored. It could mean occasionally that there's some tension in the house and people don't want to talk, and we have to go to counseling. No, I'm kidding. We have to wait, and we have to eventually that silence is going to break. Usually over, and usually that silence is something over something small and stupid that one person has done or another has done. When the silence settles in, it is an unnerving thing. Anybody else have a household like that? When it gets quiet, you get worried? Okay. All the husbands are going, I ain't raising my hand right now. No, sir. I can tell you this. I can only tell you how a man processes silence from a spouse. When I process silence from my wife, the first thing that goes through my mind, what have I done? What did I forget? Or what did I say? Or what did I not say? That's the only thing I can speak of. I imagine it's pretty much the same on both sides. I imagine, ladies, you probably think the same thing. When the man's silent, you're probably thinking the same thing. Have I done something wrong?
Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Or maybe I forgot to pick up his favorite socks, or I did this, or I did that. Listen, there comes a point where the silence has to be broken, or else the relationship can't move forward and be restored. We've got to start talking again. Amen? Are you with me? Jonah had laid in the belly of that fish, possibly a whale shark, like I said, for 3 days with nothing but his thoughts and fish guts. He laid in there for 3 days with nothing but his thoughts and fish guts. That'll make a man reevaluate his life. It'll make you reevaluate your decisions. It'll make you think about, well, maybe I should have done what God wanted me to do. Maybe I should have gone ahead and gone over to Noah. In that time, he had a conversation with God. Sometime in those 3 days, I imagine that he started praying immediately when that fish swallowed him. I know I would. He probably started praying immediately. And chapter 2 of this story tells about how Jonah realized his mistake. Jonah 2:1 tells us that Jonah started talking to God. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. You think your prayer closet is bad? He's praying from inside of this fish. And we have a tendency, listen, we have a tendency to call on God when we're in trouble. We have a tendency to call on God when we think, well, listen, I've messed up and I got to get some things right, so I'm going to call on God, because otherwise I'm going to be stuck in this stinking fish forever. Some of us are in a spiritual fish right now because we've done something wrong, or we've not done what God has wanted us to do, and we've been sitting there praying, God, you've got to help me, you've got to help me, but God's still waiting us for to go, I made a mistake. Sometimes the reason we're in timeout is because we're not admitting our wrong. Are you with me? Jonah knew he had messed up, though, so he decided to initiate the conversation with God. You can tell that he's not sharing the actual conversation, though, in the scriptures. Because it says, I called on the name of the Lord. What had happened is that after he had repented, after he had said his prayer, I'm sure he did not pray some eloquent prayer laying in there inside that fish going, oh Lord, please help me. I thank thee that thou art the one. And he's not sitting there praying this King James prayer and doing this all the time. What he's doing, he's probably going, help! Lord, I done messed up. That sounds like my prayers. He's going, God! It stinks in here. I don't want to be here anymore. And eventually he gets around to saying, I didn't do what you wanted me to. I messed it up. It's my fault. And I repent. You can tell that it's not the actual conversation, but most likely it was written after he was spitting up on the shore. It's written in the past tense. I'm sure what happened was that he took the gist of the conversation, shared it when he was able to write it down. Because I can see, because we always think of Jonah as sitting there writing out his prayer to God. Oh, Lord, picking up the fish guts and throwing them to the side while he's writing. I'm in this fish, and I know that thou art good, and all this. He's not doing that. He wrote it down afterwards. And he figured out all this stuff. When the Lord received Jonah's repentance and their relationship was restored to its proper place as a father-child or a messenger and a God, it was when the miraculous happened. In Jonah 2:10, it says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And then the most encouraging verse, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. In that moment, God opened his mouth. In the moment of his repentance, in the moment where he admitted his wrong, in the moment where he realized, I'm the problem, is when God opened his mouth again and spoke to the fish and then spoke to him. Church, we need to realize there's things in our lives that need to change so that God can speak to us again. We need to admit our wrong so that he will speak to us again sometimes. Are you with me? I'm not saying it's every time.
I'm not saying that if God has not spoken to you in the past 2 days, it's because you've got sin in your life. But I think it's a good thing to go back and reevaluate our lives and look and see if there's something that we need to change and something we need to break off of our lives. In that moment, he opened his mouth and spoke to him again. It was just 3 days later. He was fresh off of his mistake that had cost him 3 days of his life. The fragrance of his failure was still clinging to his body and to his clothes with the smell of the fish. Yet God still chose to speak. Now here's where my encouragement comes in. Even though you have just stepped out of the biggest failure that you may have done in your entire life, as long as you have repented, God will still speak. God still speaks to us when we're in the midst of our mistakes. God still speaks to us when we're still walking around with the stench of our sin and the smell of our disobedience. He still speaks to us. Church, I don't know about you, but I desire to hear God's voice. I desire for him to speak to me the way that so that he can tell me where I need to go and what I need to do. Though we fail him, God still longs for conversation with us. He still wants to talk to you, even though you may have turned your back on him 20 minutes ago. He still wants to talk to you. Our mistakes will never hit the spiritual mute button forever. You know, I was on the phone the other day, and I had to hit the mute button on the TV. And then I kept trying to hit the button, and it wouldn't work to turn it off, turn the mute off. God's mute button does not get stuck just because you messed up in your life. He never turns his back on you. The Bible says that he will never leave you and never forsake you. He told the disciples, "Lord, I'm with you always. I'm going to always be there with you. I'm always going to be there for you. I'm always going to be taking care of you." In all of these things, even in the situation, our mistakes won't hit that mute button. We tend to think in absolutes as human beings. Well, I done messed up now. There's no sense in saying anything. There's no sense in asking God for anything. I've done messed up beyond recognition. Anybody ever been there? I have. God's never going to forgive me. God is too mad at me to forgive me now. But even David cried out to God at one point. He said, this is a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart cried out, "How long will you be silent, God? How long?" Let me let you know something. God is willing, he is wanting, and he is waiting to speak with us again. His silence is not a punishment, but an acknowledgement of a misalignment. A misalignment of our satellite, a misalignment of our connection with him. Jeremiah 33 says, "Call to me and I will answer." Psalm 17, "I will pray because I know you will answer." Isaiah 65, "Even before they pray, I will answer." This is God speaking. Even before you get ready to ask God for forgiveness, he's already extending it to you. Even before you ask him for healing, he is already reaching out his hand. Even before you ask for direction, he is already drawing a path. Before you ask for it, he will answer. Romans 10 also, "All that call on the name of the Lord will be" what? "Saved." God is not ashamed of us because of our mistakes, but desires our relationship to be reconciled with him. He wants you to love him and he wants to love you. Once Jonah repented, God spoke again and spoke to Jonah himself. And this brings me to my next thing that I want you to understand, is that even the second time around, God still knows our name. Just because we mess up, he doesn't disown us. When we get mad or upset with people, sometimes we don't want to talk to them at times. There's times where I've been mad at my kids, but I never disowned them. Because sometimes I wanted to, but I never did. Sometimes you still have to tell them some things too. You ever been mad at somebody and you had to tell them something? And it was something serious, but you didn't want to talk to them? Anybody? You get mad, you get frustrated. Maybe that wife has gotten on your nerves for the last time, but you got to tell her about something that's going on and that you got to take care of, otherwise you're going to get in more trouble than you got before. So you want, and a lot of times, see, I know a lot of people, they send go-betweens. They send go-betweens in between. And we end up sending messengers to the other people so that they'll talk to them, right? Especially kids. Kids do this a lot. There's a particular movie that I watch a lot just to go. I watch movies to go to sleep. There's a particular movie I watch a lot that these two best friends are fighting with each other. And they're mad at each other about something stupid that happened on earlier in the movie. And they're fighting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they won't speak to each other anymore. And every time they do say a comment or they see each other, there's a snide remark or that kind of thing. Well, one of them had to tell the other one something very important that was going to end up saving their life or, and helping them out in a situation. So what they did was they found a mutual a friend and sent this girl to go and talk to this guy and tell him about what was going on. And she walks up and says, so-and-so told me to tell you that so-and-so said that so-and-so was looking for so-and-so because they wanted to see you. And all of a sudden the boy's going, well, you tell what? Something was lost in translation there. Can I tell you something? God may send people to speak to you, but he's willing to talk to you himself. He's not so mad at you that he's going to stop speaking and let somebody and send somebody else. Not because he's mad. Sometimes we're so mad that we won't listen to him directly, so we got to listen to our friend or listen to the pastor that comes in or listen to the teacher that comes in. We got to listen to somebody else. Are you with me? Is this making any kind of sense? The thing is, God never disowns us and he never forgets our name. After Jonah repented, God spoke directly to him again. He didn't send a messenger. He didn't write him a letter. He didn't send him smoke signals. He didn't type him an email. He didn't even ask another prophet who had not disobeyed him to come and speak to Jonah for him. Well, Jonah's not good enough for me to speak to directly anymore because he made a mistake. So I'm going to get somebody over here who hasn't made a mistake and who didn't turn their back on me to come and talk to him. No, he didn't do that. What he did was he went to the person who had turned his back on him. He went to the person who disobeyed him, and he spoke directly to him and said, listen, I've got a message for you. Jonah 3:1 says it all. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah, not to anybody else. And notice the tone that he speaks him with. It's not an angered tone. He's not mad. He's not upset. He's not frustrated. He's not looking at him. It's not altered or changed from when he spoke to Jonah before. There is no malice or anger in his voice. There's no reminding him of his mistakes. You notice God never mentioned to Jonah the fact that he turned his back on him. He never pointed out to him, hey, you messed up, so you better do what I tell you. He never pointed at him and said, you sinned against me, so you better do what I tell you this time or otherwise it's going to be worse. He didn't give him an ultimatum. It sort of reminds me of a story found in the New Testament about a guy by the name of Peter. Because Peter stood up at a dinner and he was saying, Lord, I will die with you. I will follow you to the ends of the earth. I'm going with you everywhere that you go. I will walk the path that you walk. I will walk beside you. If they come after you, I will protect you. And he did that. He swung his sword. We found out he wasn't a very good shot because he hit the guy's ear instead of his head. But then he moves forward and Jesus is being tried. And while he's being tried, all of a sudden, this big bad Peter, all of a sudden, can't stand up to one person who says, weren't you with Jesus? Didn't you hang out with him? You sound like him. He got to the point to where he told them, no, I do not know the man. The second time, no, I don't know him, I said. The third time, he cussed the little girl out and said, blankety blank, 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 I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't know the person. Three times he had denied Christ. Yet then a few chapters later, all of a sudden, Peter is out fishing with his buddies after the resurrection of Jesus. And they can't catch anything. And Jesus all of a sudden walks on the shore. They can't tell it's Jesus. And Jesus walks on the shore and he says, hey, y'all caught anything? And they're like me. No, we ain't caught a thing. Well, throw your nets on the other side. They do what he said. They gather all these fish in. And all of a sudden, the one that Jesus loved is found in the Gospel of John. If you want to know the book, the one that Jesus loved said, this is the Lord. That's the Lord over there on the shore. And Peter jumps in the water, gets his tunic on, jumps in the water, swims to the shore. And they end up having breakfast with Jesus. And Jesus never once looked at him and said, why'd you deny me? Never once did he say, you messed up, Peter. Never once did he tell him, listen, ain't you got any faith? Never once did he correct him. Never once did he condemn him. Never once did he make fun of him. Never once did he call his loyalty into question. He really was reminded when he asked the question of Peter, do you love me? When he asked that question, he wasn't asking because he wanted to know whether Peter loved him. He knew he loved him, but he wanted to remind Peter of how much he loved him. Church, listen to me. When you make a mistake, God is not going to beat you over the head with it. God is not holding on to your failures to punish you with them. Some of us in this room, we've been punishing ourselves for years because of things from our past and things that we've gotten ourselves involved in. When you are in the right relationship with God, those failures disappear from His view. He does not call us by His sin. He calls you by your name. He doesn't call you by what you used to be. He doesn't remember. He does not remember our mistakes. He remembers who we were created to be. Stop believing the lie that your failure defines you. Jonah could have looked at that situation and said, I messed up. I'm always going to be a failure because I did what God didn't want me to do, or I didn't do what He wanted me to do. And he could have let that define who he was. But Jesus never brought it up, or God never brought it up with him. The enemy tries to convince us that God thinks like a human. Forgive, but never forget. I'm going to hang on to this until I need it, and then I'm going to hold it against you. That's what we learn about God from the world. But God is different. In Psalm 103, verse 8 through 12 says this, and I know I got to close. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You missed an awesome opportunity to give God praise right there, y'all. He is not afraid of your past. Jesus is not afraid of your past. He is only concerned with what He has called you to do in this moment and in the days to come. He will still speak to us in our failure the second time around. He still knows our name the second time around. But He also still gives us, God still gives us purpose in the second time around. Jonah's mission never changed. God's tone did not change from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And neither did the reason He spoke to Jonah. Jonah 1:1 says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah. In other words, the same sentence, the Lord spoke to Jonah. Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Flip over to chapter 3 where it says it in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. The message did not change, church. Your mistake does not change your mission. Your mistake does not change what you're called to do. Nothing had changed in his life. He still had a job to do. There was still a city that needed warning. There were still lives at stake. Your past does not determine your current purpose. Once we are aligned with God's voice and God's heart, we are aligned with his purpose in our lives. It's time to get back to work. If you understand me, say, I do. Stand.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.